pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, first on the agenda is approval of minutes. First set of minutes.
I move we approve the minutes of September 6, 2016.
Okay, there is a correction.
I'll say subject to a couple of changes. The first one being that the they should be identified as Tuesday, September 6th, as opposed to the date that's on there. A couple of very small typos. Page 2, item 7, should say offices, that should be plural. Then very minor points. Item 9 should be capitalized T. Item 10, I believe that should be the 7th, not the 10th. It's kind of after the fact. The date of that meeting was on the 7th. Anything else? I think that's all that I noticed.
Sorry, did Shana second that?
I will second. Do you have discussion?
Just on the first page under selectmen's comments, under number 3. A member of the Killeen Town Council who acknowledged that Thompson, I just think the town of Thompson, just in case someone thought that we were referring to someone named Thompson, last name Thompson. Under your...
I'm sorry, I didn't follow you.
It's
She wanted to put the town of Thompson.
The town of Thompson, so just Thompson?
Yeah.
Sure.
And then under number 4, Renee King sent a summary of the proposed power plants. Ken, did you state who that was under your selectmen's comments? Is that just a citizen or resident?
Renee King is just a resident that has been attending the various things.
Okay. And then page 2, under
Selectman's
item 7, Newcock's currently working on a building study and still should be has instead of have. Ken, under number 8, you asked for a request in writing regarding what the town's allowed to put on the roof. Who did you make that request out to?
That was
Marianne.
Yeah, I asked Marianne to get that from the state historical.
Okay. Otherwise, I think that it looks like you're asking for a request for mass.
Okay. No further discussion. We will vote on the proposed changes. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, we have September 7th, the special meeting, which was the public information session at the library.
Make a motion to approve the special meeting minutes for Wednesday, September 7th, 2016.
Second.
Any discussion?
Just to get a typo on the about.
Take out the U.
That's the way down, which is Noel Lafayette gave an overview of the project and how it would be fed.
Yep.
To the
typo.
I also didn't know if we should note what the special meeting was. Did we have to put that it was the information public hearing on the same project on it? How do you want that worded? However it was, however it was placed in the end.
You're saying on solar energy projects?
Solar energy projects.
Okay, yeah. Right.
Sorry, yeah, so loud.
Solar energy projects.
It's a little noisy.
Yeah. Of Further discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, September 15th, special meeting.
Got a motion?
No, I just wanted to...
I move we approve the second special meeting of Thursday, September 15th, 2016.
Second.
Discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Correspondence, there will be a class, there's a couple of social media classes put on by the Chamber of Commerce for Social Media, 101 and Social Media 102, September 28th and September 26th. They will be held at QVCC Room 101. So they're open to anybody that would like to go with a cost of $95 for the workshops. I did get a letter of commendation from a Jeff Angel concerning Josh Putz. The purpose of this letter is to formally and publicly commend Josh Putz for the excellent service he provides as an employee of the town of Thompson Landfill. I have never before written a letter like this on an entirely unsolicited basis. I am here from out of state as a caregiver for an immediate member of my family. While temporarily residing here, I volunteer 1 to 2 hours per week to clean the shed at the landfill. I observe firsthand the work that Josh performs. He returned this week after 2 weeks vacation. During that time, other town employees filled in for Josh. Dozens of residents voiced how glad they were to see Josh return. Why? Landfill areas were a disaster except for the day that a young man named Eric worked. He did a wonderful job keeping the areas maintained. Josh and Eric truly deserve to be recognized with a letter of appreciation. Josh worked tirelessly all day the day he returned to restore the circle back to a clean and safe area. What impresses me about the level of service that Josh provides is the fact that he receives no additional financial rewards. He is simply committed to excellence in job performance and is always motivated to go the extra mile. He is organized, responsible, extremely competent, and has a wonderful rapport with people of all ages. He is approachable and personable, always treating others with respect. His attitude and productivity should be an example for the other town employees who must fill in when Josh is away. Though he has never said so, I do wonder if Josh at times may feel his efforts go unnoticed. The town of Thompson is fortunate to have someone with his work ethic, experience, and dedication. I'm suggesting that a copy of this letter be placed in his personnel file. Thank you for reviewing my comments. Warmly, Deb Angel.
That's very nice.
So it's always nice when our workers get recognized for the jobs that they do. So.
And a copy should go in his file.
And I will pass that on to the town foreman. You should have gotten the numbers for the current Troop D statistics. So for your review, I did ask the Renee in the office. I'm going to give her the information to put the stats together from last year and this year so we can compare.
That'd be great.
I did ask to do that, so I will get that to her so she can do that. Some more correspondence had to do with disaster news. Small Business Association economic injury disaster loans available due to drought in Connecticut. Applications have to be sent in no later than May 8th of 2017. It has to do with one or more primary counties in Rhode Island and I believe engaged in aquaculture and private nonprofit organizations in Windham County as a result of the drought. So I will have that put up on the website. We did get that. I did get a letter from the town of Southbridge. On behalf of the Southbridge Town Council and myself, we would like to express the town's sincerest gratitude and appreciation to all of those that helped fight the recent fires on Sunday, August 28th. Your fire department came to the mutual aid of the Southbridge Fire Department for a six-alarm structure fire on Main Street and a later fire on Benefit Street. The two combined fires were only extinguished with a lot of hard work and long hours in a very extreme temperatures. It is because of the hard work of the professionals involved that they were able to keep these fires contained to the primary sites with no loss of life involved. Again, thank you for every person involved with this effort that were ready, willing, and able to assist the town of Southbridge in a time of need. You should be very proud of your firefighters for their dedication, commitment to help anyone in need to protect the lives of the citizens. I'm not sure which departments went to this. I don't know, community did, and Quinnabock. They didn't name them in the letter, but they were, as I read, they were expressing the thanks for your professionalism out there. There is a drive-through to beat the flu. Drive-through clinic Sunday, October 2nd, 2016, 1 to 3 p.m. at the Putnam Middle School. That is put on by the Northeast Department of Health. Only 100 free shots available. Reserve yours or register by calling the Department of Health at 860-774-7350. And
if you can volunteer to help out.
But you can, yes, correct. You can volunteer. They're looking for volunteers needed from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. The clinic's open to the public from 1 to 3. So if anybody wants to help them with traffic control or anything of that nature, do reach out to Derek May over at the Department of Public Health. And that's all I have that came in. Does anybody else have any correspondence? Jim? Selectman's comment. All right, I'll try not to get too long-winded with this. I got this late this afternoon. It came in from NECOG. CERC, which is the Connecticut Economic Resource Center that is partnered with the state, they have an awards, Celebrate Connecticut, awards that will take place on Wednesday, November 30th at the Bushnell in Hartford. CERC invites you to once again be an important part of this annual event, which brings together Connecticut's economic development, municipal, state, and corporate leaders to celebrate many successes in growing our communities, regions, and state's economy. Similar to previous years, we are asking each of the state's regions to designate two award honorees, one company and one other, a program, project, or organization, or individual who have made a contribution to the local economy this year. New this year, CERC is pleased to be working with the Hartford Business Journal to produce a custom magazine-style program for our Celebrate Connecticut event in November, which will also be distributed statewide in the HBJ's Book of List in December. In order to meet our production schedule with HBJ, we will need the award honoree information by Friday, September 9th. Please use our online to submit. So, we had a business in town that has made some wonderful strides in renovating the old Thompson Mill. So we submitted that name. And lo and behold, they are going to be one that is going to be honored at CERC. So the Charlene Langlois story will be one of our two featured awards for the statewide CERC celebration later this year. They will get us the details, and CERC will be contacting for additional information on that. So we're getting some recognition. It's wonderful that the Thomas Mill has been renovated, and it's a definite step in the, you know, in the economic development here in town. Okay, aquatic bridge status. Our next meeting with the engineer is on Friday, September 23rd at 10 a.m. The bridge was hopefully to open on the 20th. That has come and gone. They were rained out on Monday. The forms had been forms for the approach paths, which is the last step of, before they can put the memory down and pave. I went down there before I got here to the meeting. They poured one side today. Maybe the other side may have been overly wet with the stuff. I'll find out more tomorrow. So once that gets done, membrane, they'll be able to, and I'll know more exactly on the 23rd, what day we're looking at expecting to open, but the tentative has been, based on what we're seeing, the end of the month. So, and it should be, so I'll have more on that on the 23rd, and I will get that up on the webpage so people do know. Currently, Leo's been busy with the roads. We had the train come in, and he did Port-a-Plain and Babula Road, which he ground and put back down. Since the base was thick enough and done well, based on the conversation, Leo's going to be able to just seal that and chip seal it, which means we do not need to put a top coat on it. The road came out that well, so we're saving money on that. And we got to do Babula Road, which was bad up there as well, but the same cost that we were going to be doing just for the plane. Next step from there is we will be chip sealing. Will be done on a quarter mile of Gore Road, off East Thompson Road that goes to Gore into Webster. Connecticut has a quarter mile of that. Finish off Sand Dam Road, again, Port-a-Plain, Babula. From there, he's going to go up to Blaine, Gomo, Elliott, and chip seal that. He's been working up there as well. And there is a section of Sea Strand, about a quarter mile long, that will be paved, and Oak Hill off of Church Street will be also paved. And then from there, we will do the top coat of the Raiden Road from Blaine to West Thompson Road. And that will put him, based on all that work, pretty much right at the end of the season. And we'll keep our fingers crossed that it's raining.
I'll get those from you again.
What's that?
I'll get those minutes from you again.
Yeah. No, not a problem. And from there, after Oak Hill, we got to do some touch-up work on Linehouse and Fabian to get through the winter with the ruts and the potholes that keep getting popped up there. Like I said, that'll take us right to the end. If you want to mark that one, you got. Sewer, we're still working on it. We did meet on Thursday. We got a proposal from the contractor to be reviewed by the engineer on how to complete the boring. And we'll see where that moves on from there. The Connecticut Water, as we know, the back parking lot was an issue that we didn't own it. Connecticut Water is working with us. CME that did the original surveying and did get and worked when we did the school back in 06, did the surveying, and they had given the town some property when they did that renovations up towards the girls softball field. It was a section up there, so we could own that pavement, do the addition back in 06. So they came in, they shot the lines, cut it out, moved the easements over and the driveway access to the property. I've submitted it for Connecticut Water to see if they have any concerns or objections, and waiting for a response from them before we as a board will vote and send it to P&Z and then on to town meeting, which is part of the process. So we're still, that is moving forward. Community Day is Sunday, the 25th, from 12 to 4. Setup starts after 9 o'clock. Fire departments, everybody is involved. It's a great day to come out. Cross our fingers, everything goes well, weather, etc. We will also be having that Home Energy Solution Outreach program. They will be setting up there at Community Day for the home audits on energy consumption in your homes and so forth, with a fixed cost and then a donation made to a charity in town. So they will be there as well. And that's everything that I've got. Ken?
Nothing.
Steve?
I'm good. Thank you, Roger.
Citizens' comments. Al Landry.
33 Randall. Seen this done a lot of times in the past, and because we have so many emergency responders here, I think you ought to move another 10 up right now and take care of them, because it'd be sad if they have to go off to emergency and take care of them as a courtesy. We've done that for scouts and many other groups in the past, and then come back to citizens' comments, just in case.
Anything else, Al?
Not right now.
So we're on, anybody got any other citizen comments? Great. I'm willing to entertain that if the board is.
Yeah.
Motion to move number 10 to 3A.
No, it'll be 4A.
4A, sorry.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, with that said, John, you asked for the meeting?
John Sharp, Passay Road. I'm also the chief of a community fire company. I asked for this meeting or be able to be allowed to speak on for the fire departments, and obviously have all the other members of the fire department present today, and also talk about the underfunding that we've been receiving, more so in a capital expense. I'm speaking on behalf of the community at this point in time. We're hurting badly for personal protective equipment. As I mentioned last year, we have fire hose that can no longer be tested after the date of 1986. We have SCBA bottles or air pack bottles that expire on a 15-year basis. Again, I need to strongly look at our selectmen and hope that they help us out. To give you some numbers, as of the end of this year, Community Fire Company will have 10 full sets of SCBAs that are no longer in line. They have a 10-year shelf life, and that includes helmets, boots, coats, the entire ensemble. I'm sorry, PP, the personal protective equipment. We also have a total of 16 SCBA bottles that no longer will be able to be hydro tested, which means we have to throw those away. They're non-compliant.
When do those expire, John?
We have a total of 35 in 2 years. In 2 years, a total of 35 bottles that will be expired.
Okay. When's the first group go out?
The most of them will probably be towards the first of March of 2017.
So is that half of them?
Pretty close.
What do they go for, approximately?
Pardon?
Cost per
$1,016 a piece.
Thank you.
To give you an insight, and also our community an insight, Chief Bodro had just purchased 3 full sets of turnout gear to the tune of $6,983.
Per unit, or?
No, that's for 3. Okay.
And how much was it, John?
$6,983.74. Now, again, correct me, Steve, that's just coats on hand.
$6,983.
Coats, the pants, and the suspenders. That does not include helmets, does not include gloves, does not include boots, or the Nomex hood, which are part of the ensemble.
So that's coat,
that's
trial, bunker pants.
Pants, and suspenders, period. 3 sets.
Are all of the additional items that you just listed outside of what you just paid for requirements to enter into a brand new building?
Correct. Under the NFPA, it requires that full ensembles, and this is according to the NFPA ruling, which is, actually, it pretty much covers anybody that's on an emergency fire scene that they require full ensemble for protection. That's according to NFPA 1851. That code requires, or revised, and I'll just briefly highlight this, for recurring structure firefighter ensemble and ensemble elements and proximity firefighting ensembles and ensemble elements require retirement no later than 10 years from the date an ensemble elements were manufactured. They're all, if you took a look at any sort of firefighting equipment, they're all date stamps. This is according to the NFPA, it's 160 pages. That's out there. It's very dry to read. Again, that was the highlight. It clearly outlines the 10-year plan. To give you an idea of some of the costs, pulling up some off of some of the local websites and vendors that we use, a helmet is about $300. The hoods are $50. The jackets, approximately $1,000 to $1,300. The gloves are $115. Suspenders, $41. Pants, $960. Boots, $390. And again, we try to do as much shopping as best as we can to get the best deal. However, again, like I stated earlier, we're in a desperate time of need. We don't have the money. We're very thankful that the town gives us, and they did up the ante to $47,000 per department this year. However, that just barely, if anything, covers my fixed expenses. They're even higher than that if I include the ambulance. But again, as you requested, the ambulance is separated. It doesn't give me any leeway for capital expenses. I've got members that, unfortunately, I'm going to have to send in two emergency situations that I'm not comfortable with doing. I need to put that on your shoulders. Should something happen, you know damn well the town is going to be hurting. Mr. Baer put it best at one of the town meetings, should something happen, put a fork in Thompson because it's done. I don't want to be the hard guy, but I've got it. Enough is enough. The time is over with. As I mentioned, the hose that we can no longer test, there's 213 lengths amongst all five departments that they will not test any longer. Typical length of 1¾-inch hose is $172. Typical 2.5-inch length of hose is $206. The larger diameter 5-inch hose that we use to get water from ponds and sources, because again, our hydrant system is crap, is $640. Just for your information. I believe putting together, looking at the report of last year, the tune was somewhere about $48,000, $49,000 worth of hose that will have to be thrown away. It cannot be used, according to NFPA, and again, they will not test it. In my opinion, some of the older hose is much better than the newer stuff. When we've had problems with the newer stuff, then we've gotten covered under warranty. But again, the older stuff can no longer be tested. Talk about ladders. We had ladder testing last year. Some of the strictest, most bizarre stuff you'll see when they test ladders. I'll give you an example, 24-foot extension ladder. They draw it out with full extension, lay it on two saw arses, 300 pounds of weight goes in the middle. They measure it prior to the weight going down, then they measure it after and have to come within an inch. If it doesn't, it fails, and you throw it away. 24-foot extension ladder, fire service, $670. 14-foot attic ladder, those are the straight with the little hooks that we can use on roofs, $330. The nozzles, and again, nozzles they wear out, we have to replace them from time to time. A typical nozzle, adjustable nozzle, $525. I can keep going on, I don't think we need to. I can't express the need for more funding. And I can't emphasize enough that we're putting our people in harm's way. Taking into consideration one firefighter with full gear and a full air pack is about a $10,000 proposition. As Mr. Bodro stated, it doesn't matter whether you're going inside or you're outside. Technically, according to NFPA, you're on any sort of emergency fire ground, you should be fully protected. We can't do that in most cases. I'm speaking for community. I'm sure we're all in the same boat. I presented to the selectmen last year a capital expense that was taken into consideration the expiration dates and so forth. For community fire companies, about $90,000 a year. Now again, I haven't even started talking about the fire apparatus, the trucks that we use. Again, I refer to NFPA. That's our governing body that dictates what we can and what we can't do. We don't make this stuff up. This is all governed. First due out piece of apparatus cannot be older than 25 years. Just remember that. Your average fire truck nowadays is $300,000 to $400,000. And again, we haven't even talked about that. I've got four members right now that are going through the Firefighter One program. Firefighter One program is the entry level before we can send them into an emergency scene. I was fortunate. I've been looking for grants for months. I spent my entire Labor Day at the fire station on the computer looking for grants to try to get more money. They're just not out there. We put in for a FEMA grant, as well as you know, Mr. Bosley, that goes in every year. We got rejected again this year. I was putting in for 15 sets of turnout gear. The last time we received that grant was in 2004 for turnout gear. It was 12 years ago. It's so tough to get. I found one through one of the banks, the local banks. It's a $5,000 grant. Won't know on that one until the end of this year. Again, $5,000 may buy a couple sets of coats and pants, but still doesn't take into consideration all the rest. The forestry grant through the DEP, which we did receive this year, was where I was able to purchase four new SCBA bottles. And I was able to get four of the members through the Fire One class. But again, now I'm looking at where do I get the apparel that they need, because the instructors will then not allow them to go through what they call their live burn, which is a final, we'll call it the final exam, without that certified gear that's within the 10-year plan. So what my plan is, and I've talked to my officers, is we're going to snitch from this one, we're going to snitch from that one for that course, just to make sure they can get through. Once they become certified, I'm back to square one. I don't have enough gear to put them into. It's certified according to FPO. On that note, I also want to bring up in regards to our line item for the fire service. I've been doing some research with other municipalities throughout the area, throughout the Eastern Connecticut region, in regards to three items that are on the fire department line item. One is the 911 system. And again, let me back up for people that may not know how that line item works. And I think that's some of the biggest misconception from some of our townspeople. The bottom line is $440,000. Now out of that, the fire department has to pay for the 911 system of $22,593. Looking at most municipalities, that's covered by the general town government. Their responsibility. The one that really kind of gets my goat, and I think it does a lot of people, is the hydrant system in the town of Thompson. out of the fire department budget, they take $72,000 to pay for hydrants that are pretty much useless. I spoke with Mr. Beausoleil in regards to, I believe there are 34 hydrants in the town of Thompson. Out of those, 3 to 4 may adequately be used for possibly one truck. And that would be for a very small fire. If it was a large fire, forget it. Yeah, yeah.
In all honesty, our hydrant system is on a loop system, so you're only going to be able to use one hydrant.
Correct. Once you tie into one of the hydrants, the loop system pretty much diminishes and you can't use anything else. A good hydrant would flow at 1,500 gallons a minute or more. We don't even come close to downtown. But yet the fire departments will pay for that. Paramedic ambulance service, $16,929, which is a NECOG agreement with the town in what their support would be for the paramedic ambulance service. But again, it's taken out of the fire department. Total cost, $111,522. If in fact that could be reallocated so that we could get each an additional $22,304 for each fire department, that would be a substantial help each year towards properly equipping our fire service people.
Could you say that number again?
$22,304 is what it divides out amongst all five. Again, I'm speaking for community fire companies, but I'm sure all the fire companies feel a pinch. Each year, these prices go up. Each year, the mandates get stronger. And each year, the time dwindles off that we're allowed to use this. Again, I just need to make it known and put on the town's shoulders that we're not in compliance. The townspeople need to know that we're not in compliance. Why? Because we don't have the money. We fundraise. Last year's fundraising totals were about $15,000. That was enough to cover the shortfall for fixed expenses.
Sorry, was that for your fire?
Correct, for the community fire company alone.
Thank you.
Again, I'm not bringing the ambulance into this at this point in time. We talked about that previously. I just think it's time that this town strongly looks at emergency services in the town of Thompson. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else got any comments? I mean, John spoke in more than one department here. Anything else anybody wants to
ask? There are no tankers currently. Does the community have?
We have one tanker, 2,500.
You have one tanker?
Right. In West Thompson, we have one.
Okay.
With 3,000 gallons.
And John, do you have a list of, you mentioned earlier that a lot of the equipment does have expiration dates on them that are stamped on there. I'm sure you have an inventory or a list that you can provide to the board. That would be appreciated if you could get that to us.
John, did you speak with any of the other chiefs as to what their status is currently?
I emailed all the chiefs in regards to this meeting. Strongly suggested that we look at what we need for capital expenses. I don't know what their figures are at this point.
Could I try to identify what fire stations companies are here tonight, represented here tonight?
West Thompson.
West Thompson, yes. And other communities, AC, Pinnabug, and who else is not? Who else is here or not here? So it's East or
East Thompson?
East Thompson. Thank you.
Anybody from the Hill?
It's not here. Thank you.
John, just a comment on the budget aspects. Accounting-wise, the hydrants and the 911 and the paramedic get grouped in for accounting purposes as emergency services.
Right.
So it can be misleading to the public, and we've talked about this many years over. People look at it and think that all that money is going and it's not.
You are correct.
It can be a large misconception.
Yes. And we've always tried to explain that in the past. But that's the recommendation on with the audits and so forth, where to group those type of situations. You said you had the last FEMA grant was for which fiscal year?
That was for 15-16.
Okay. I did get notice that the new round is going to be...
Correct. I did as well.
Okay. You know, I usually... The better odds of getting a FEMA grant is if everybody bands together and, you know, puts in for it, because there's greater strength in numbers, the more firefighters, the more outlying mutual aid and everything has more substance than just one fire department. So
that sounds good in reality.
But you have to do it.
No, it goes by your FDIC number, and each department in the town has its own FDIC number, so they're kind of screwed you.
But the other towns have done in the past when we got the
and they've gone through
the radios
that went through QV.
Through the town. So in this situation, they have to go through like our Homeland Security emergency personnel director as opposed to an individual fire department. We have to be something that's steep. John, did you ask why you were rejected back in 2012, this last fiscal year?
The rejection letter is here, and I can certainly make a copy and present it to you.
How far did you get through the rounds?
It doesn't matter.
Because usually they'll say, you know, as it gets more dwindled down.
It's towards the end now, apparently around
14 or 15. So we were rejected as well.
No, I know, but sometimes if you're rejected early versus later, that means sometimes tweaking of the grant is critical, that it'll get you further.
Rejection letter dated 8/10/2016.
And they're done now with the rounds?
Pretty close.
Right. Yeah, they're almost expired because the new one's ready to go. 8/10. The total applications that FEMA received was 10,400 applicants, requesting more than $2.1 billion in federal assistance.
And how much do they have available? Usually they say it.
That was in the other letter, for the application letter. I don't remember exactly the figure.
Because it depends on the priority, what they're gearing towards.
And John, did you total the total amount for the equipment that's going to expire and the hose that needs to be replaced? Do you have a grand total?
Yes, I do.
And you also have some sort of document that would maybe prioritize some of those needs?
I can put that together, yes. Unfortunately, just about everything is a priority.
I'm sure.
No, but as such with the SCBAs, they're spread out over 2 years.
Correct.
So if you can...
I can put a timeline together for
For that.
Expirations.
As well.
72,780 is the total figure to be applied.
Okay.
You know, and again, as I had mentioned, if there is some sort of yearly capital expenditure account for all fire departments, yes, the initial hit for this year may be great. I'm not denying that. But again, looking towards the future, if everything is there and set in place, you don't have to worry about that as much. Just a suggestion.
So while you have your needs for the PPE right now, that's the initial stuff going out, where's the schedule so that way, planning for the future, where the other stuff, you know, maybe 2 years from now, or you'll have stuff following another year, you know.
I can put that together on the schedule and present it to you already to the office.
I think if we can get up to speed with where we're at with the end now, I think two sets of gear a year will keep us compliant from the year on out. But it's that initial thing for us.
Oh, that's Mike Lattica. We don't know who you are, Mike.
Sorry.
I try to stay on the radio.
We know that.
You had a visual, I would say that, you know, if there is that yearly maintenance or yearly capital program so that each department has availability for two sets of beer, three sets, whatever the case may be, then we stay compliant. It's not so much of a yearly gift. But it's been, I took over a sheet 3 years ago, and I've been pushing for this for 3 years. We're hurting. Plain and simple. Townspeople need to know we're hurting. I don't want to be the one to have to come up and say, I'm sorry, your house is on fire, we don't have enough hose to put it out. I'm sorry, we can't send people in to save your family members because somebody may get burned because our gear is out of date. I don't have enough air packs to send them in because they're going to die. I don't want to have to do that. I don't think our townspeople want to hear that.
You know, the other big thing that we have to realize and understand is...
Who are you? Please identify yourself.
Brian Leach.
Thank you.
Riverside Drive. These departments are volunteer departments. All of our members are giving up their time to help our townspeople. And we're asking them to go into burning buildings with inadequate gear. So what is the incentive for a volunteer to go into a burning building with inadequate gear? You know, we all love what we do, but we have families that we have to take care of as well.
Please understand, I don't think any member of the board, I think I can speak for us, we're not on the opposite side of the table.
Everybody needs to know and understand that, you know, we put our time, effort, our training, you know, we pay for our own trainings and get reimbursed as members. But we're giving up our time, we're spending time away from our families to help protect the town and the townsfolk, and we're not getting anything in return from the town. You know, we need our gear.
Well,
we need to be safe with our gear.
Okay, we'll correct that a little bit. I'm one of you guys. I've been doing it for 41 years. You do get stuff from the town. It's just not up to what meeting the needs.
You're right.
Okay. So the town has, they various times have done a variety of things over the decades with a variety of things. Money is tight. We understand that. A lot of stuff has changed. What we do need is, what are the needs out there? You know, John brought up this, and this. They're expiring here, and here. We still got four other departments that also have to bring in that stuff as well to know where we're going with that when we approach and try and figure out how we're going to fund this. So even looking at it right now and year two, year three, what it's going to take to keep on going so that way we can keep everybody safe within and with the expectations of the emergency services that we provide at a very high level, and we have for many, many years, and everybody does do that. So, but we do have to make the awareness, have our ducks all in a row with the numbers and everything, that where we're going with this and what our true needs are, and that is getting back to budgeting time and so forth, and having all of these numbers, you know, we spend so much here, so much comes in, this is where it's got to go, and everybody does the same type of accounting as well, so when it gets to the Board of Finance, they understand it, because we've got to get it through the board, then we've got to get it through the voters to pass that referendum to support, you know, our needs.
One suggestion I'd like to make to all the departments here is, and I've talked to our finance director about helping you prepare better for the budgeting process. It was, I went through the budgeting process this year for the first time for me. And just to be very frank, I don't think any fire department asked for anything. Nobody asked for an increase. Now, maybe you assume that we knew it or something, but no one asked for an increase. Ken is the one who actually proposed the increase for the fire departments. No one specifically asked for an increase.
And again, other than for the ambulance.
I think I need to correct you, Steve, because I presented you an expenditure for capital account, the capital expense account that showed clearly.
Maybe for capital, but not for the operating part of it. I don't remember that. If I recall, one fire department didn't show up.
Problem with that is every department has a different operating.
And every department, each department did have time to present. So every department had an opportunity to talk to us. And I appreciate that you guys are not accountants. I don't expect you to spend a lot of time doing that. So I was thinking that, and I did talk to the finance director, maybe we could have a sort of mini class in preparation for budget time to help you prepare better for it. So you can we can explain to you what would be helpful to help us sell your needs better. Because again, I don't expect you to know accounting. It's not your job, kind of, so to speak. So maybe we could help you prepare better. Maybe that would be useful. I thought that might be an interesting assistance, perhaps. Because it was a little frustrating to not being able to follow your needs. It was frustrating for me from on my side of the table. I couldn't understand. And John, you were there for some of them, and I think you probably would agree with me. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Would you? That was kind of hard to follow some of the presentations.
I think you're pretty much laid out black and white, in my opinion.
The thing is, though, it's kind of hard to go in there as a community and say, I need $110,000 to operate. And then you have the next department that says, oh, you only need $50,000. Now it looks like favoritism going on because they're going to get more money than I. I think that's the problem with why we don't go in and ask for more money.
I think anybody can present what their needs are fairly and honestly. I think that's reasonable.
The community has presented their needs for the last 3 years, and it still stays the same amount of money. So.
Again, I just from my viewpoint, I don't want to speak right, but it was a little, again, for me, it was my first time. It was a little hard to follow what the requirements were. I think it was Ken, actually, who suggested increasing the budget. I don't remember anybody really asking for an increase. Ken, is that right? Am I right? So we should give Ken credit for the increase this year, because he's the one that asked for it.
He's on my department.
So yeah, give him the kudos for that. I'm not casting blame or anything, because I don't think you guys are in the business of preparing budgets. I don't think that's your job. So again, that was my thought. Maybe we could help you prepare better. That was my suggestion. So maybe we could do that. Maybe we can do a better job in helping you this coming year.
And we could start earlier, huh? That we can also start earlier with this. With the presentation and so forth.
I think it's also helpful too that we have fire departments coming in or requesting to be on our selectmen meetings, because then we can understand throughout the year, where you guys are and what your needs are. So that way it doesn't seem like was stated that then come budget time, now here's $110,000 that one fire department wants and the other one wants $50, and us as a board are not understanding why, but it's more so sticker shock for the residents too. So if we say, look, there's a track record, they've been coming to our meetings saying that this is what the needs are, and I know some of you have done that, and we do have track records of you stating your needs during our budget sessions, I think that holds more water, especially when we go before the Board of Finance to say this isn't something new. We've known about this for years.
All I can say is let me just see what the cost is you had to fund a fire department in the town itself.
Oh, no, we understand.
Okay. If we don't give you the keys and say it's yours running, you're looking at a $20 million bill, if not more, just for fire service.
Nobody here, we appreciate the volunteerism that's shown in all of the fire departments. No, we don't have any disagreement. We understand that, and I think we can all say we deeply appreciate it. I'm sure all the townspeople deeply appreciate that. Maybe they don't show it enough, but we do. I don't think there's any question about that.
Steve.
Steve Bowler from Fire Department. Is it beyond the realm of possibility that a town grant writer or whatever the title is
Town planner.
Town planner. You know, John spent the entire weekend on the computer once for, putting this together, looking for grants. I've never once heard anyone contact the fire department and say, hey, look what I found. You know, as far as, you know, what's out there for grants or, you know, other than what the fire department is coming to you and saying, okay, this is what we're trying to get. And we, clearly there is a need for money, but I just don't, I mean, I don't know why there's, we look for grants for other departments and, you know, we're not, I mean, other organizations, we're nonprofit, and I just don't know why that maybe someone could just say, hey, why don't you just spend a couple of hours looking for something for the fire department that maybe they have no clue that it's even out there.
It's a good idea. It's a good idea.
We can do that.
Sure.
We can do that. That's the past town planner has helped out. I think Wes Thompson at one time write the grant. When Kevin Kennedy was here, there's been some stuff that has been done from time to time in order to assist. So we can continue to explore that as well. What I would ask of the departments at this point is, you know, we got one that didn't come tonight. We have community making, you know, most of the case of their needs. We also need the needs of the other departments as well, because this has got to be, when you're talking the departments of what they're going to need to get that money from and budget it and do what we need to do, we've got to have everything. And everybody's got to be on board and cooperating with each other to supply the information. Oh, Lisa.
This is Sharon Playbrook. I just want to expand a little bit on the expiration dates that John was talking about this year. The safety officer for the community fire company, and I also take care of the inventory for the year and getting the gear to our members. The potential for personnel not having certified gear in date gear on an emergency scene, depending on the size of the event, the personnel available, you have potential for people to be on that scene with gear that has been expired anywhere from 2 years to 10 years. There's people walking around in gear that has been expired for almost 10 years. Think about that.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Jeff Kimball, Deputy Chief of West Thompson. We're in the same boat. I know for a fact that we had to really scrounge and pull some rabbits out of our hat to get it. We've got four people as well going through firefighter line. And we sacrificed gear from other members so that they can go through class and be compliant. We're in the same boat with the SCBAs. We're rapidly approaching the point where we're going to have more outdated than we have certifiable. So it's town-wide. We have the figure, we have an inventory, and we do list out our gear with the expiration dates on it. But we're all in the same boat, you know, and we couple that with vehicle repairs and all of that. You have to be VOT compliant each year. That's an added cost. There are requirements that go with that. So, it, you know, the cost just kind of overwhelm us. And our fundraising abilities are low in the communities. I mean, we do well. But, you know, we're a little bit smaller, so we bring in a little less. But just voicing Aaron's opinion, we're frustrated.
I guess that I can speak less and say, we're on your side.
We are. I understand. It's not a bigger point. It's just, can't emphasize enough just how frustrating it is to be in that situation.
Again, I've been on that other side of the table begging for money too.
Yeah.
You know, and getting it, and, you know, and so forth. But help us give us the numbers, the figures, the stuff that's going to be coming out, because when we talk with the budgetary times, talking to the Board of Finance, they want hard evidence of what it's going to need to rectify the situation and so forth. So, I mean, this is great talking. We know the need is out there. Give us all the facts and the figures. Show when everything is going to be coming up, 1 year, 2 years, etc. And then we can work to put a plan together. You know, expenditure with the budget, you know, so much this year, so much next year, and try and get everybody on board. As you know, the town budget pretty much, you know, we stay pretty trim and it does pass at the referendum time. You know, but we're only a quarter of the budget. And anything that we add to our budget, we have to justify as well. You know, same thing with what the school does with their, you know, mandates and everything else. So help us, get the stuff to us. We're on your side. We'll try and figure out how to get through this.
But I think that also having the numbers and the priorities will help us, because just hearing some of the needs right now, it seems like we might not be able to hold off on some of the more budget before the next fiscal year.
That's what we're trying to get at. I'm one that's out of year on year. I'm an instructor. I'm going to continue to do my job. I'm going to go into burning buildings and veterans to do that. But my family knows if I get hurt, they're going to sue the hell out of the town. Because you guys know that our gear is not in compliance. And we don't want that to happen.
All right, John, get back to us, if you would, please. And see if you can get a hold of Hogan as well. I mean, you know where to find him. Haven't worked there before. We'll try and work this thing through as quickly as we can.
I just hope that we can work something out for this coming budget season. Otherwise, we're going to be just all that much far behind. Correct.
Something needs to be done.
But I still...
If you're looking at a lawsuit...
Mike, I still got to have a number.
When OSHA and FDA comes down on you guys...
Mike, I can't go into we can't go into the Board of Finance and say, I want $500,000. It doesn't work that way.
I'm sure that right now community is just utilizing the firefighters who are in full gear right now. Those are the ones that are the first to go in if available.
Necessarily.
Depends on their work schedule.
All right.
Volunteer.
All right. All right, guys. Thanks. We heard.
Well, is there anyone else? Anybody? Any other comments or on this issue? You raise your hand or just wait.
Yeah, I got a comment.
I'm sorry.
We need a firefighter. I have an issue. My issue is, I'm at a finance meeting. We talked about giving $200,000 to do a roof on this library. You have priorities in the right place. You got 200 grand to blow over there. Just give it to the fire department where it belongs. That's what I got a problem with. As a board, we should be looking at our priorities where we're going to spend our money. I got to my car to go to work, or I'm going to buy a motorcycle or buy a toy. It doesn't work that way. You got to put your priorities where they are. To me, if we have $200,000 to blow on a library roof, we have $200,000 to give to the fire department. Thank you.
Anybody else? All right, thanks, guys. Okay, moving on to minutes and digital recordings of minutes and discussions. A couple of things with the FOI. We had a brief discussion at the last meeting, so I put it on the agenda.
Okay.
Okay. One of the things that we need to do is within 48 hours, we have to have a copy of all of our motions that are made and have them available. Unless the minutes are given to the town clerk already, within the 7 days. But it's 48 hours that we have to have a list of motions available. Okay?
Yeah, the...
All right. And we're not doing that. And
I'm sorry. That's on the regular meetings. I do that every single week. Okay. I don't know if you're referring to special meetings, but
The special meetings, usually special meetings, those minutes are done pretty quickly, within 48 hours of the end.
Same second, let me say that again, second.
Okay. When we do our, like, the meeting tonight, we have up to 7 days to get them to the town clerk. Okay, where they stamp them in, and then, okay, which is fine. Anytime that we do any motions...
Anytime that there's a decision made.
Decision made, we have to have those motions available.
The results of that have to be...
Within 48 hours.
Be able to be provided to the...
48 hours.
That's correct.
Okay.
Doesn't mean the minutes have to be ready, but the results of that...
Exactly. You're right, you're 100% right. Okay. So Tina does the minutes, she does a great job on it. Okay. Within 48 hours from Tina, I need...
Motions.
You know, the motions and so forth, the things we may have asked.
Can I speak? I've never not done that before. Every single meeting, Thursday, Linda gets an email from me with the motions.
Okay, I haven't seen them, because, okay, I don't know.
I usually don't forward to them, because then it's the board, so I only get them.
Okay. All right, if that's the case, we're doing fine, and they're available.
So they're available, okay. And is that done for PNC too, and others that you... Anyone that I don't get them in, it's like 48 hours.
Okay, good, because I was unaware. And that was one of the things, after going through the FOIA, that I wanted to make sure that we were okay with, right? So, if you can, CC our office, the selectman's office, you sent this to there, because if somebody comes into our office, you know, we can say, here they are.
Sure.
All right, that'll work perfectly. You have the 7 days to get the, to the town clerk, which you do all the time, which is fine. What I would like...
And posted on our site. And they need to be posted.
Yes.
On our website.
Well, no, actually, they don't have to be posted. It only says that they have to be reported with the town clerk.
Okay.
We are not obligated to actually put them up on the site. There is nothing in FOIA that says we have to.
Only agenda?
Only agenda.
Gotcha.
Okay. We do it because it's, you know, it's great to do, you know, without running down to the town clerk and so forth.
Only agenda, I thought it was agenda and minutes.
Yes.
Only agenda.
Exactly, a special...
Exactly, a special meeting. That's correct. That's the most critical, but we do the agenda so anybody does it. So that's working out fine. What I would like from Tina, all right, and I think it's appropriate, we have the minutes and they're fine. I have no issues with them. You know, it covers everything well. And I don't need to shrink them or whatever, I mean, so forth. That is still our option if we decided to condense them a little bit.
We can talk about them later, sure.
You know, but leaving them the way they are tells the story. We had the issue a few months ago that there may have been some libel or slander or something that could have been affected. You know, in our minutes.
Right, that's okay. Not the recording question, that's a, somebody's saying, okay, but that's not their problem, I might say.
No, but as us recording the minutes,
go ahead, listen, go ahead.
We can paraphrase.
Yes, we could.
Okay, where we can omit a statement that may be made that would hold us liable for something that's written down.
You mean prior to it being submitted?
Prior to being submitted to the town clerk. Because once it goes there, it's permanent.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, if something is, you know, somebody, you know, just, you know, this person did X, Y, and Z.
This guy's a jerk, okay.
You know, and is a jerk, and it's more involved in that, and you know what we're all talking about.
I understand.
That, you know, she writes everything down, she does a great job on it.
Sure.
Prior to going to the town clerk, if we can get it, and do a quick overlook in case there is something of that nature.
Get it to who?
Tom Hennick said to the selectman's office. Okay, that's what he would recommend.
No, wait a minute. You're suggesting that the minutes be reviewed?
Minutes are not minutes until they're submitted.
We have reviewed them in the past and prior minutes.
Sorry. I'm
trying to understand. You're suggesting that the recording secretary write a, essentially sort of a preliminary draft.
They're all drafts in the beginning.
Preliminary draft, mm-hmm. Which then gets reviewed by?
It could be my office, it could be me, it could be the three of us.
Not by your office, it's got to be a group.
It would be me, I'm saying my office, so whoever the first one.
And what if you review something I don't think it's that you've made, that I don't agree with what you're changing? you make a change.
Like I said,
and I think it's inappropriate.
The changes for
it's strictly for
if there could be any slander or libel.
Maybe you think it is, but maybe I don't quite feel that way.
And we all can redo it. I don't care, Steve.
But I think that's going to be the issue, because then all of a sudden it's three people or whatever it is, and there's other committees which have many more members.
Yeah.
Each one are reviewing and deciding and debating what the minutes ought to say. I think that gets to be a real problem.
Well, we're just deciding for this board, not for other boards and commissions.
I'm not looking at that.
The issues are the same, which is, do we get to debate about what the minutes say?
Yeah. We debate about what the minutes say when we review them anyway.
But we do that at a public forum.
Oh, sure. I have no problem with that.
What you're suggesting is not a public forum.
You're not going to do it in a public forum, because if there's something that is slanderous or libel to the town, that is put in. Once it's turned into the town clerk, it's there. You cannot retract it. Okay? And we know that.
Right.
You can redact it, but you have the two copies.
I understand that, and I appreciate that.
I don't need a decision tonight.
What I would ask that either one of you do would be to reach out to Tom. Yep.
And run this by him.
Yep.
And you know the situation that we're talking
about. Yeah, but a more general one. We don't want to make a decision
You know the gist of what the general is.
I understand those kind of issues that come up. Yep.
And if we can all come to protect what we do in the town, that is the ultimate goal. Okay.
So there's two things we have to worry about here. There's the privacy concern, which I think is one side. And then there's the information, the open meeting law issue. And there's a balance there.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of the balance. And there's a freedom of speech issue too. So which is part of that.
Which
is part of the open meeting.
Sure. Anybody can make a statement.
That's the libel kind of point you're making. So if somebody makes a libel statement, are we recording it? Are we suppressing their free speech, however odious that free speech may be? That's the question. It's a fair point.
This is a discussion.
Yeah,
so please,
fair.
I don't need a decision on it. I know that we get it in 48 hours, which is perfect. I just asked that we have it, so I have it in my office. That's perfect. The rest of it is fine.
Yeah.
Please reach out to Tom, and explain, and he'll whatever.
It's a great point.
All right.
Yep.
And we'll bring it back up.
Yep.
Good.
Very good. Thank you.
Anything else? Are you any thoughts?
I guess I'm also kind of wondering, aside from the possible way that we're doing the process, I guess, is what I'm looking at. Would we be looking at, are we trying to answer two things here? Should we be looking at a draft prior to it being officially submitted, just as a draft, not making changes, like not looking for things that could be liable or something that's, impeding on someone's character? Just like as a draft to say, there's a commas there, capitalize that T, little things like that. Is that one issue? And then the separate issue is, should we in fact be looking at things that could put the town accountable? Because I think we did look at drafts in the past. I remember looking at a few drafts in the past before they were submitted under previous administration, and I thought that it was just helpful. And if we had any suggestions, to just submit it by a certain time, or one of the selectmen took upon themselves to make sure that I dotted and C's are
wrong. Meaning you're correcting typos kind of thing?
Things like that, or just making sure, I said this, just clarifying a statement before it went out.
So maybe we do that.
Which we do here anyways.
If you're clarifying, does that mean you're restating what you said? Which in some ways is saying you're changing what you said?
No, something may have been
recorded incorrectly? Is that correcting something? Correcting something you recorded wrong, I understand that.
Right, not retracting what you said and making a completely new statement, no.
But if it's sort of like, I meant to say this, that's certainly incorrect. I said this, oh, I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to say he was jerky, really, he's a great guy. That's
totally wrong. Right, no, that's totally wrong. Agreed. Yes, no, that's not what we did.
Okay, all right.
And we correct that here already, once we vote on the minutes. If something isn't clear, and
we
try and restate that this is how it should flow.
Right.
That's not exactly what I said, it was this.
Right.
We've done that in the past. But it's done in open meeting, which is, I don't have a problem with.
Yeah, we're doing an open meeting, I think that's good, because it's the open meeting, it's the democracy, if you will, because it's in front of everybody, there's nothing secret. I think that's very important. And I understand the privacy concerns, and something that assessing somebody's character, but if someone does that, I don't know if we have a right to keep that a secret. I think that's, as odious as that speech is, and the fact that we don't want to have it repeated, nevertheless, if somebody said that, I don't know if we have the right to suppress that. Again, even though it's horrible, we don't want to repeat it, we don't want to say it. But let me get some counsel on that.
Yeah, talk to Tom.
Well, I'm going to talk to our attorney as well, also. I think I want to get some other opinions.
But I'm just saying,
it's a very interesting subject, to be honest.
It is. That's why we're discussing it.
Yeah.
Is it possible, actually, because, Steve, I think it's important Did you sought legal counsel outside of Tom Hennick for this?
Well, I've always asked.
Because we may want to have our attorney.
That's what you were just saying.
Yeah.
Among all of us, so we're not paying. Because every time we talk to him, we have to pay him.
It's $100.
And you can say it in front of all of us at the same time to save on costs.
Sure.
So I'm thinking if we could just have him. Just have him for a meeting, whether it be, you know.
I can ask him to come down and have a discussion about the minutes.
You have another meeting?
Because the freedom of speech question that you bring up is a good one, so I'd like to hear what he said about
it. Even though the speech may be disgusting or something we don't want to repeat, it is speech, and I don't know if we have the right to exclude it.
But it's the same thing, you wouldn't be putting in swear words or anything like that.
If it's what was said, I don't know if you
can edit that accordingly and put the symbols and whatever that's. You know what I'm saying? So,
okay. I appreciate that.
But even getting into that even a little further, even when I've talked with town attorney, he says minutes can be extremely very brief. The law only requires very limited. What we do is well beyond.
What he said, though, but his role in giving you that advice was to minimize the amount said to sort of, quote, protect the town. I'm not so much interested. Not that I'm not interested in protecting the town, but I think freedom of speech is more important.
He wanted to
keep everything protected. Don't keep it all covered, as opposed to let it all hang out there.
He didn't say how far to restrict it. He just says sometimes less is more.
I understand.
And that's exactly what
I read his comments.
You don't have to write
I read his
it
comments. And as a lawyer, I appreciate where he was coming from.
Yeah.
But his goal was different than
maybe
we should be as public officials.
And like I said, the only thing that I'm concerned with is that.
I understand. Yeah. I understand that side.
That's
too.
It.
I understand.
That's all I'm worried.
And maybe it's verbal versus something that's typed in the minutes and in the clerk's office stamped for all eternity. That's like someone
it's
saying
there, it. So it's
oh, yeah, it's always
right.
There. It's always
right.
There.
And in fact, while we're on the subject, because it relates to this, can we get our recordings on our site?
So,
my understanding is
that you need to convert. This is recording a certain way, and you need to just convert it a different way that our website supports. So Marianne has the program that Chris Nelson has put on her computer.
Okay.
It works, I think, most of the time.
Yep.
And he said that he could put it on ours as well. If he doesn't have it, I have an Adobe program that we used to use at the radio station that we could just download and keep there. And
in this day and age, you can't be that tough.
No, we got to get the program. We just got to get it downloaded. You know, from here.
And also on the recording point.
It's a flash drive.
No, you're right. But you get it downloaded.
For the record, the actual recording, the recorder, the selectman's office has its own recording device that should also stay in the office and put into.
She uses it for
multiple. Okay, I'm sorry.
So then that way we're not having to have people go upstairs, or we can, we know where it is. If it's not downloaded, or even if it is downloaded and we want to hear it.
Well, if we have the media, the program, she has it, it gets downloaded, we'll have it, whether it's on a flash drive or whatever. It'll be available.
I mean, we have members of the public recorded and posted it on.
Oh, sure.
So it's certainly doable.
So we will do that. Our biggest problem with the web page has been, and we've been talking about it, is Joomla as a whole.
Okay.
We can't find anybody that. Everybody's talking about WordPress and a couple others. Nobody wants to work with that.
Let me see if I can find. I've got the source back here from some other information. I know you mentioned it last meeting as well.
And she did, and I reached out to somebody else, and he says, I'm thinking about doing Joomla, but I've been doing WordPress because I'm losing business by not knowing Joomla.
I've heard about WordPress, but I've heard that there are better things for WordPress.
Yeah, of course.
Too,
there are.
And that's where we are on the webpage anyway. We're trying to figure where we need to go.
Okay.
And we've been discussing that before.
So can the digital recordings from the selectmen's meetings be recorded on the selectmen's device? So that way, if tomorrow someone wants to come and listen to it, it's there?
We got to get the program.
Just the recording. Just that. We have our own.
Oh, I've attempted to listen to past meetings, and I have to go visit this person and get it downloaded onto a disk.
But once we get it on...
It's not easily, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Once we get it onto a memory stick or a CD or whatever, then we have the permanent record, and then it's just a program to play. So if it's a MP3 file or whatever the proper filing is, it works fine.
Well, we've all shown our ignorance here, I think, on how to do this.
But we'll work on it.
What does it record currently as? MSV.
MP3.
Only MP3?
It's probably the more
I'll reconfirm with Jim Stratus.
It's probably the more universal MP3.
Thanks, Tim.
And it compresses quite well into a very small file in as far as space. MP3.
Okay.
So, all right.
You all set?
Yeah, I mean.
So this will be our next meeting.
Yes, yeah, so I'm trying to say. So how do you want to go about?
Well, some
discussion or.
Do you want town attorney to come in, or
at least from my viewpoint, I'm going to talk to. I'm going to do a little research. We'll include Tom Hennick.
Please.
And I think it'll probably include the town attorney, but let me at least start with Tom Hennick and maybe do a little other additional research. And maybe next meeting we'll talk about whether the town attorney, unless you already know you want to talk to the town attorney.
Depending on the info that you get and come back with, because I mean, I've gotten, info here. I mean, clear my thoughts in your mind.
Shana, too.
I think what I'll do is I'll probably talk to the neighboring towns to see how they've handled things like that in the past, and also talk to Tom, and then see if it's warranted that I feel like we need to.
Okay.
And then we'll get Tom attorney.
Yeah, I think I know what his words are going to be, but nevertheless, hearing from him directly.
When I did speak with town attorney, and once it has been recorded, and even Tom and I said the same thing, once it's recorded with the town clerk, it's there forever, because it's a permanent record.
Sure.
And then you can make a correction,
as
we do on a variety of things, and your next month's meeting is going to reflect the changes that you made the corrections
on.
Could you just give us a write-out of his... I mean, he's given us summaries in the past of his findings, the attorney, on specific issues. Would it be...
How to handle
more,
it?
Yeah, would it be more time-effective to just have him at a meeting or call him, or...
I think because it might be interactive. There'll be a question that goes back and forth, I think, Sharon. Yes.
And depending on his availability and so forth, may have to be a special meeting. Depending on the schedule, and that's not a problem. So, but we will figure out the programs. We have the recordings, and we'll get them. And if Tina just lets us know that we get a copy of the motions and stuff, as well as going, that's perfect. So we're in the compliance with FOIA, so that's fine. Don't do it again. Okay, good discussion.
All set?
Yeah. Unless everybody's
been good. Thank you.
Okay, Republican Town Committee. Yeah. My mouth is getting dry. Republican Town Committee request of using the transfer station for political ventures, whatever you want, or campaigning, however you want to politically say it. I did some digging. I talked with a couple of the other selectmen that have been our predecessors.
Okay.
You know,
sure.
They have never have done it.
Okay.
Their feeling was to keep the politics out of town property.
Okay.
All right. That if you open up this door, where does it continue to go? Okay, now we can talk library, you talk town hall, you talk school, you know, et cetera. And they always felt not to open that door. And nobody says to anybody, we have to campaign. You know, it's always a decision wherever anybody goes to campaign, whether they stand on a street corner or post office or whatever it may be. So I'm very reluctant to, no matter, and just coming, like I said, with politics in general, trying to keep it out, you know, the town property, and so forth, you know, and keeping it, and it's been working for decades. You know, we haven't.
You're raising an excellent point. See,
and keep it in that fashion. And I don't care what the party is, but my feelings would not
change. Oh, yeah, it doesn't matter what party it is. It's really, I think the question was safety, whether, would you think differently if someone got hit on the road?
And at that point, my feeling at that would be, don't campaign them. If you feel that it's unsafe or whatever, don't go there. You know, this is free will, free...
Yeah, well, it is. You know, I understand that.
And so forth.
It's a traditional spot.
It's your option if you wish to do that.
And, one thing that we could probably do, too, is just for safety's sake, that both of those corners, you know, go right up to the road, being more vigilant, whoever's up there, staying off of the road, because that's where we start to gum up the traffic, and that's where people start to go up to the cars and talk, and maybe they're conversing, and it's fine, but someone behind them becomes impatient, and they go. I didn't have a chance to go down and see exactly the spot that they were looking at, so I apologize.
Well,
I can't weigh in.
A lot of it,
with respect to that.
When we had the nonprofits go in, the fire department goes in, the Girl Scout cookies, you know, whatever it may be.
Sure.
Other than the poppies and the fire department, usually they catch them on the way out. And it's down where the big mafia blocks are, the big cement blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what do you call them?
You know, they call them mafia blocks.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's really what they call them.
Jersey barriers. Okay.
No, Jersey barriers are something. These are just big square
blocks. Sure.
They call them a variety of things. Okay.
I've sure, heard Jimmy's in one.
A mafia box, but that's one of the things that they call them. Anyway, so they, you know, like the Girl Scouts may be over by the swap shack. They'll set up a table. The people go to them. They don't go to the people. You know, and when it's for passing the boot or somebody is doing the poppies when they do it, that you know, they'll stand on, you know, on the way out. And, you know,
so sort of just this unspoken rule that town committees don't go on town property, or is it also because we need to gain permission from the town to do so?
Yeah, it's always been just, we don't campaign within any of the buildings, you don't campaign on property.
Well, it's always town property.
Well, technically, and that's an argument to make, and I thought about the same thing, so I mean, you know, so forth, the Passay Road is town property.
Sure.
But you're not in the facility.
But I understand your point. It does sort of open the door.
It does.
Where would it end?
No, even at election time, where at least 75 feet back, and, you know, that's my thoughts on it.
Oh, you raise interesting points. Good points.
Yes.
We'll move on. Road list. I have nothing new to the road list. I put it back on because I already looked the last time. Didn't want to do it twice.
I take it Leo didn't provide anything yet.
Now Leo's been out busy.
Because I did talk to him. I did finally reconnect it.
Right.
And I did explain yet again
what
I would like to see, and I think he understands.
Okay.
He indicated he did. We talked about it for a while. And then hopefully he will be able to provide us with a cost. I don't want any further detail, but a cost of what it would cost to, you know, do the work he's projecting on the top 10 roads in our project. Maybe we can leave it on our list for next time, and
yeah,
if you get a chance to see him, ask him if you could do it for next time.
And I'll see whatever he may have a chance to take it.
Thank you.
As I have explained, and I'm not making excuses, you're going to see
you
it.
Make
very, very busy from here on out.
Yep.
We're roughly 8 weeks of the asphalt plants behind them. Okay. The solar projects, I put it up for discussion. As we know, we went to the... Al had a question.
Yes,
you all right, Al?
I picked it up later.
Okay. All right. Sorry, I wasn't trying to ignore you. You know that.
I just think you guys need to make a resolution about that. You know, instead of this is how we've done it in the past, make an ordinance or make a resolution. It's just no campaign or
no. No, we're not making a resolution.
Yeah, you'd be fair to everybody. You know what's going to happen if the Republicans go up there, then all of a sudden the Democrats can say, well, we need to be up there at the same time, campaigning for our side, you know. I'm not voting for Libra, so don't worry about me. I'm very neutral.
The request was not for Republicans to be in there. That was not the request.
Well, it came from a Republican town.
Yeah, but it was not for the Republicans to be there.
Then what was it for?
It was for campaigning to be allowed inside.
Right. Not
for Republicans to be campaigning. Campaigning in general.
All right. And that's exactly what I'm saying. I don't think that should be done on town property.
And
it would be good to have some kind of policy.
Okay.
Then it'd be fair for everybody.
It's fair.
It's include the third parties.
Okay, so thanks,
Solar project.
We did all of us attend the presentations by CTEC and SHR. CTEC was a third-party generator and selling the stuff. He explained it very well. It was nice to know where it was going, and that it would be the way he had described it. You would not see it from the roadway, etc. So. You know, there's always some of those concerns, but it had gone through the various councils and so forth that they just got, so it was nice to know that that was in town. And of course, we did have the SHR proposal presentation that was directly, I should say, affects the town, the school, and the way the presentation was made.
Potential.
It was not a third-party generator. This was a direct feed in, which is behind the meter and a feed where it goes in and doesn't go through the grid. So it was a different type of proposal. And we presented some numbers and some stuff that I have not had a chance to look at or get an opinion on whether they're accurate or not. This was his proposal, what he was recommending doing. So I don't know what you got from it. I mean, it was interesting.
Sure.
You know, all of the presentations, and there is merit to solar power in general.
Sure.
You know, alternative energy, and discussion. So what's
your? I'll make a couple comments. First of all, although I made some comments at the meeting, should not be taken as being against renewable energy. I don't think there's any question that's got to be part of our future.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, climate change is upon us, like it or not, believe it or not, it's there. One of the answers to that is renewable energy. So definitely that's part of our future. This particular company is the answer or not is a different question. but I think solar and renewable, be it solar or wind or other sources, is part of our future. It definitely is part of our future for our town, for our state, for our country, for the world. It definitely is part of our future. As I mentioned before, I attended the Governor's Council on Climate Change. You know, they're looking at an 80% reduction in emissions. This has got to be part of the equation. So definitely part of that. Again, a different question is whether this particular company is part of that equation. That is a different question and still open to debate, let's put it that way. I think it was nice to have the opportunity to have a presentation, give the citizens an opportunity to hear this individual, but I think we're a long way from making any sort of decision. But I think there's sort of two parts to this. One was discussion about solar, renewable energy, that part of it. And I think many people or most people would be in favor of that. The second question is, what's the cost? What is this company going to charge us versus our other options? And that's sort of where the rubber meets the road. What does he want to charge versus what our other options are? And we're a long way from evaluating those choices. At least I believe we're not long way from evaluating those choices. We only have sort of his proposal. We have others yet to be evaluated or developed, I think, at this stage. That's what I find that out.
Well, the solar committee's looked at options in the past. It's not like we haven't looked at some options, and some of them have gotten to a certain point where we thought that things might take place, and for one reason or another, it does fall through. And I think, for me, I would feel more comfortable bringing in all of the players, because I felt like there was such a divide in that room when it came to our board and the Board of Ed, and I saw maybe one or two members of the Board of Finance there, all of us probably having, you know, some similar questions and some different opinions and other questions, and not really understanding the scope of the work. I mean, the presentation, it laid it out a little bit, but, you know, I think that there were some points that it was hard for me to understand and follow the financial gains and the overall cost, and I kept hearing it was one-sided for me. I just kept hearing, you know, this is how much it's costing me. I didn't hear what is it going to be for Thompson and how much is it costing Thompson. So I would be open, and I don't know how the two of you feel, to have a joint meeting, and whether or not we invite SHR Energy, just to see what our goals are, if they all align as a, you know, between the Board of Ed and the Board of Selectmen. Do we want solar energy? Do we want it to be shared? Are we going separate ways? Should we be joining? And then maybe see if we should have SHR. And doing it from the beginning like that, which may seem like we're going backwards because we already received some approval at the state level from, you know, whatever SHR has done for us to get some necessary things.
SHR has done for itself.
Well, they're doing the legwork. It's gone through PNC and it's gone, I think, through the siding council.
But it's done for itself.
I'm not sure about the siding council. Well, yeah, because they're the developer with the landowner, which is a very unique situation, which does not include us as far in any conversation, because that's between the property owner, the developer, and going for the credits and
exactly
so
right.
And that's where that works out. It is in front of us. I'm not for or against him by any means. It was an interesting proposal. It's renewable energy. It's based on the information that was there. This is the only proposal of that type that can be done in this avenue with that property, because he's the developer and so forth. And that he worked out with the property owner. For us, it would be doing nothing but purchasing the power. Okay, and then we go into a third party. So, like I said, I'm not for or against. I think there's a lot of unanswered questions as to what the final numbers would be. You know, he stated 12.1, 20-year contract, $6,000 for some property tax. You know, I think all of that is all opened up for discussion.
And it seems like there's a lot of things. We haven't signed anything.
No.
So the only contract that I have seen was a draft one that he had proposed that was sent to our town attorney just to see if it looked legitimate. And I don't remember going through any negotiations. So like there was like that 6% revenue that was coming back to the town, for example, that he mentioned. I don't remember agreeing to that. So I think that there are so many things that we have the opportunity to say.
When was that, Shannon?
You're talking about the $6,000?
No, during the presentation, we saw the revenue, the return that was coming back to the town was 6% of the...
I'm sorry, you mentioned a prior contract. When was that?
When we were first holding discussions with SHR Energy.
When was that approximately?
15.
Oh.
15.
Maybe beginning at 15 then?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That there was some packet that he said, you know, you can have your attorney do it, or I can suggest an attorney do it. And the past administration and I said, you know, the town attorney has done some work with solar energy in the past with other towns. We'll have him take a look at it. So it looks status quo. That's all that I heard. We never went into looking at what was in the contract as a board to say, this doesn't look good. Let's change this. This is what we want. So again, and that's just like another, I think that...
Formal negotiations.
Yeah, and so that hasn't happened. Conversations with the school hasn't happened. It would be nice to know if they want to even do something with us and vice versa. I think that this is just one issue of a few others where we just don't know. You know, we hear about school buses and tell people want to know, you know, what's going on with school buses. We don't know. Even though it's under our budget. So same thing. When someone says, what is the school doing with solar? We don't know. It's not, you know, we should. We should know what they're doing. I don't know where to go with that other than to say maybe just an initial discussion, a joint meeting of the entire boards or some of the boards if we wanted to just have some kind of discussion.
Sure.
I mean, I think it's worth discussing.
Yeah.
Obviously, it doesn't mean that we enter into anything.
No.
But I think...
Did I hear him say that... Or maybe just an implication that he thought he had a contract with us. He does not have a contract with us.
We do not have anything.
So you were on the board before, we never entered.
No, and I feel like this was discussed in the executive session about wanting to speak with them further. Yeah.
Okay. I know town attorney did mention that he did look at some documents from them.
Yeah.
And he had some concerns or questions about some of them. Which is what he's supposed to be doing anyway, but that hasn't gone any further. That was back in 15, whatever. Whatever the past administration had brought on to it, he did remember having conversations and looking at some stuff. Whether he made modifications to it, I don't know.
Do we have to talk about this in a bigger session?
No, this is fine. There's nothing to be sensitive about.
Okay, thank you. To the best of our knowledge, that we have not, and Shannon, can you speak to the prior administration, entered into a contract with this company?
Correct.
That's what I wanted to ask.
So, I'm open to have conversations on this. I have no issues with that, but I will be going in. You know, would have to be, without a doubt, you know, representatives from the school, us, and, whoever else needs to be in on discussions and look at this. I mean, each side, based on what town attorney said, is the Board of Ed would sign a contract, the town of Thompson would sign a contract, but bring it back to the voters because of the length of the contract.
Assuming that makes sense.
If we were to enter into something and move it that far.
To Shannon's point, maybe there should be at some point a joint meeting to make sure we're all on the same page.
Whether this project or not. Yeah.
If we're in consensus, then I will reach out to the Board of Ed and see if they wish to discuss this.
Yeah.
And we can go from there.
Sounds good.
And so forth.
Do they seek counsel from their building, from Bill Birch as well, when it comes to projects of this nature? Would it be beneficial to have him there as well?
I'm sure they would invite him as part of that.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the head custodian.
He
maintenance director, whatever you want to get your call.
Facilities.
And if we could then, once you make that phone call, whatever packets or information that we've been privy to, and make copies so that way all the boards of ed members have.
There's a big packet of stuff that, there's some stuff at the office.
Okay.
I'm good with that. I mean, it was interesting when we did learn some stuff.
Yep.
And it would have been nice if Mr. Zemini had come
as well.
I did
record it live. I don't know how to. I think it was shared on the Thompson Transparency page. If not, I can try and get a copy of that meeting.
Okay. Anything else?
On that?
So, okay, town hall building maintainer hire. I did meet with Leo and Lee Post, and we did interview the applicants that we had when we went out for listing it, and we did go through a process, which was last Friday. And we came to a conclusion to if there was a worthy candidate that was willing to work within the 15 hours and provide us with the maintenance that the building so desperately needs, and go with that. So my recommendation, and I'll make the motion, is that that we hire Peter Ernst is the applicant for the town building maintainer. He's met all the requirements and good background based on the conversation that we had with him in his past work history. And he would be an excellent candidate to get our building in shape. And no job is too big or too small in order to take care of, based on the conversation that we had with him, from picking weeds or moving spider webs or replacing windows and waxing floors and cleaning restrooms and everything else that's associated with it, and working in any of the other buildings that we have, such as the gazebo, the recreation, and the town garage if needed for that type of repairs. So I'll make the motion that we hire Peter Ernst. Discussion?
15 hours, you said?
That's what is his budget for, 15 hours.
Well, we discussed a little bit before. Here we are hiring a permanent person, or things that can typically be done differently. I did the research on my library position. Most towns have found that it's less expensive to do outside services. Gave you the data before on that. I think there's a way to save some money here, but we've had discussion before, and I've been unable to convince you of that, so I think we're wasting money.
Any further discussion?
Who does that position report to?
That position reports to the first selectman. Takes direction from the when appropriate from the highway director, because there are certain systems that the highway director is well, but he does report to the first selectman and to carry out the duties and make the repairs as needed. All in favor?
Aye.
No. You're going to ask for opposed or not?
Excuse me?
You're going to ask for those opposed? I'm opposed.
No, I asked.
I'm opposed.
Okay. If you would like to give her a reason or whatever.
I have no objection to this individual. I'm sure he's a very well qualified person. You have a chance to save some money.
Can you spell his last name?
E-R-N-S-T, Peter. Okay, moving on. you have that copy? Here we go. As we are all aware, we had a Belding Porticelli Improvement Advisory Committee that has been dealing with the former mill there and the Brownsfield cleanup. They've done a great job in keeping on top of it and working with the current one, which is CME, that's over there doing that and having discussions. And they've actually developed pretty much a very good expertise in dealing with the Brownsfield, being very familiar with the process. So it was recommended and it was brought up to the committee that instead of getting another committee and getting them up and going from the bottom, that we would committee name charge modification. And they were in agreement. So I think it works in the best interest of the town to hit the ground running and go with this project. So they would suggest that the name change to Mill Sites Redevelopment Committee would be the renaming of that committee with four separate charges. Number one, work to improve, enhance, promote the town's historic mill sites and search for grants to accomplish same. Two, serve as the lead for the ongoing 630 Riverside Drive, parentheses, building site, grant-funded Brownsfield project for which the assessment phase is nearing completion. Three, serve as lead for the 929 Riverside Drive, River Mill North, Romandale Mill grant-funded Brownfield project, which is just beginning. Four, provide quarterly updates of any ongoing work to the Board of Selectmen. They're on board. I will make this a motion.
It's a very picky question. Right. Search for funding as opposed to just maybe there's other, I'm not sure what they might be.
I have some questions about the charges too, so I don't know if we want
to... Before we leave to that, a motion?
Okay. Right, or just make a motion on one.
Make a motion, then we go into the discussion.
Okay.
So I'll make the motion based on the, that came from that committee. You know, as the chairman of the committee, this came from Janet Blanchett, that they recommend these guidelines.
That's the wording of that motion.
It's going to be
the motion and with the...
You want all of that in the motion?
It's the motion. This is the motion.
And the charges as read.
Can I speak this?
Yeah. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion. Here we go.
Well, mine was kind of just a sort of a... just search for funding for the missions that they're seeking. So as opposed to just grants and maybe others, I don't necessarily want to restrict it to only grants, which may be kind of narrow.
We could add in grants and funding?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay, and that's legitimate.
Again,
it expands the scope.
That's exactly
okay.
Yeah, kind of very picky.
Funding and grants to accomplish things.
Sure.
We'll do it funding and grants.
Sure.
Okay, I got no problem with that.
So
makes sense.
Did you have the grant? No, go ahead. It's the same one. Instead of working to improve, maybe researching on ways, because a committee is at the end an advisor, you know, is an advisory group to the Board of Selectmen. So we want to make sure that they're not just making decisions without coming forth. So usually if the committee is charged with something, it would be, you know, we're charged with researching ways that we can better enhance this property. So then they research and find those ways and then bring it to the board. I'm trying to wrap my head around the charges because there's a lot. Normally a committee is charged with just a few things without trying to minimize the work that they do, because I appreciate that we have a group that wants to do this. At the same time, I'm just a little hesitant because it's not town property, it is private property. So I'm trying to do it in such a way that pleases everybody. So maybe research on ways to improve, enhance, and promote the town's historic mill sites. But again, it's not the town's sites. We don't own it.
So you want to just put research to?
Yes.
That's fine.
And then after search for grants and or funding to accomplish the same,
yeah, funding
and report the findings to the Board of Selectmen. unless they're going to be doing that in their quarterly update. But I would think that if they found something, they'd want to give it to us earlier. On 2 and 3, serve as the lead for the ongoing, serve as the lead for the 2, 929. What does that encompass exactly? Is that just bid opening? Is that
That's already been awarded.
So what is...
That is to... They're going to
lead the project.
Lead the project, which is phase 1, phase 2, phase 3. Exactly what they did with the buildings.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, they meet, they discuss it with the...
Because they've had ongoing meetings. And,
correct.
Right, and they meet once a month and they go over where they're at, what they're finding, you know, where the costs are, what, you know, there's a variety of things. So they're on top of it.
And then would they be presenting, because in the past, who the company that does the phase 1 and phase 2 then comes to us with what they've done?
Yeah, they do present. They've done it in an open meeting. They had one at the library. We've had one at the town, right, in the Merrill Snay room.
Right.
And when the completion of the 6:30 is done, they will be doing another presentation for the public as well.
I take the quarterly updates to mean at least quarterly. It doesn't sort of
So if we put research to improve, you know, funding and grants.
And I don't take towns as the town owns it so much as it's in our town.
Yeah, I think that's the way that word towns is.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, because we've got, at least there's a couple other small
ones. We have a few other ones.
Yeah.
Like
the one on Wilsonville Road, there's a mill there.
Yep.
So are they going to do that as well? Or are they it says...
No, right now it's... Right now it's to spearhead the phase 1, phase 2, because they're familiar with what just happened at the building site. And they understand how the phase 1, how the phase 2, and everything keeps going. And, you know, where the money is being spent, why it's being spent, and there's a dialogue. The engineering company comes in and reports where he's at and why they're going in a direction and so forth, and has to get permission before they move on to anything.
Okay. So would you be opposed to, after it says the town's historic mill site, putting at 630 Riverside Drive and 929 Riverside Drive?
Well, let's see. Same as leaving it.
I think they just differentiate them because there's two different projects and two different
things. Because they're closing up one, which is, I think we're probably reading too much into it.
Okay.
I'll take it. Al, what do you got?
All right. Can you tell me the name of the new committee again?
Mill Sites Redevelopment Committee.
You need the word advisory in there.
Advisory committee.
Do you need that in there? And I'll tell you why, because at one time this committee was hoping to spend up to $10,000 at a time, and I was at the meeting and where it was slumping in, and it's like, no, you are advisory.
They had it in the other name, advisory.
Well, I just want to make sure it's
You said the Bell and Porter Checkley Improvement Advisory Committee. It could be a typo that they didn't add it. It was in the original name. I agree with that change, because they are advising. Thank you, Al. You have that, Tina?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Any further discussion?
No.
Steve?
Subject to the changes you made.
With the changes that are made?
I'm ready for it. I'm ready for the vote.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. All right. This is going to be very, very quick.
Let me, do you want to do mine? These are the changes that are in there now.
I have one, actually.
What's the other one?
These are the ones that are.
Research ways to improve enhance, yes.
Okay, that's good.
Okay.
Grants and funding.
Yeah, both funding and grants. Yeah. I think funding and grants may flow better.
You want to put funding?
Yeah, I think funding and grants flows better.
Fine. And then at the end of that sentence, she has suggested to add and report findings to board selection.
Oh, but then they said that they, it doesn't,
I think
they
said
that on number four.
I think we're okay.
Yeah, just the way it was.
Yeah, without that.
Okay, research ways and then funding
the
grants.
Yep.
And then advisory.
Okay. Yep. Okay, very good. Town meeting and referendum. With the roof that the Board of Finance had, we know we have to go to town meeting and referendum. The conversation from them was they're going to do the roof in the spring, we have to lead up to it. I was hoping to tie it into the federal election, the Sabre referendum.
Okay.
Can't do it.
Okay.
We did drop that date to get it all done with September 6th.
We missed it.
Okay. So what the suggestion is to go just before it or after it, and they will do it with a paper ballot. We don't have to be real fancy. It's either yes or no, and we can do it. I'm going to work that out. So I put this on the agenda before I got the information as of yesterday.
Oh, so we're, I'm sorry. So you know, we're not going to, we're going to wait until spring.
No, the roof wasn't going to get done until spring.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, because they said they were just going to secure it. There's no way of pulling it down and doing everything. To do the referendum, like I said, we were hoping that we could save money on the cost.
Gotcha.
It doesn't work. It may have been no, it wasn't today, as a matter of fact, that it can't be done because of that September. So probably either do it just before the federal election or after the federal election. All right, we'll figure out when. So that, like I said, that was going to be very quick. And moving on to 13, inland wetlands and conservation, which we have. We have a couple of things to tie up. If we're going to go to a town meeting, it would be nice if we can include these. We talked about these before. The ordinance committee is meeting next Friday.
Okay.
Thursday, I'm sorry. Thank you, Al. And I did ask them to, these are the four that would make the most sense.
Okay.
To get done, the inlands, wetlands, and the conservation, correct me if I'm wrong, Al, they're done.
It should be done.
So they're going to make sure that they're going to make sure at their next meeting that we've got the absolute last revision of those two.
Coming Thursday or a week from Thursday?
Week from Thursday. Okay, that's when they're scheduled to meet. All right. So they're going to make sure that we have that. There was some modifications to the constable. If you remember at the last town meeting a year ago, October, that they're going to go back and relook at that. Because the emergency management cannot fire a constable, only the board of selectmen can do that. And the other, take that out and maybe increase it from 7 to 12 at a maximum. Doesn't mean we have to fill 12. Something to think about. And the emergency management has a lot to do with the old ordinance used to say civil defense, and it's now emergency management. They're going to take a look at that. So I just threw that out that if the stars line up and we can get this stuff, we can get something done at the town meeting and make it worthwhile.
Okay.
Well,
we're going to talk about this. Do you have a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
From the Inland Wetlands Commission draft.
Yep.
Gina, I don't know if you've got a copy of this. The proposal is to amend and restate as follows. The suggestion I would have is, why include the history in the amendment? In other words,
they've done that with other ordinances.
Really? Include the history?
Every single ordinance that ever was in the town clerk's office.
Includes history in terms of what you're including?
Okay.
That seems
you can ask their office why.
It seems odd. I mean, I would think you want, here's what you want, and you know, history would be the history. I understand all that and why you're doing it, but yeah, I'm not surprised that you included it actually in the amendment. The only other very minor point on item three, I would just make that governments to be.
I had some questions on the Emergency Management Homeland Security Agency ordinance.
Oh, thank you.
I'm wondering, do we just provide like suggestions and notes for the ordinance committee, or do we do it here before we submit this over?
We can talk about it right now, whatever you're thinking. And they're going to meet next Thursday.
Some of it's just grammatical, and others are just a question of, so we say the chief executive, but then we say the chief executive officer. Which one is it? Let's just keep it consistent.
Yeah,
a period after emergency management homeland security right at the top. There's some spacing issues, which someone, I'm sure, if they comb through it, can fix that easily. I circled he will perform.
Simple. Should be the director or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Again, keep it consistent. Be assigned to him. And then on the last page, that person shall receive such compensation for performance of his duties as may be determined by the town meeting. I thought that we had discussed early on about, you know, just maybe giving the current person some little stipend.
But
it is eventually determined by town meeting, but we put it in as a budget request. So I'm not sure if this, how this individual can receive compensation.
I would, again, subject to some lawyer correcting me, I would probably delete that whole section.
Yeah.
And you know, the compensation would be a matter just as any other personnel in our town are compensated.
A quick question, Al, because Al's on the committee. You also look at state statutes and so forth.
Yes, we do. I'm not even sure. I think what you're looking at is not what we put forward. That was paid by the selectmen, I believe, two select people, and changed horrendously from what we had pushed forward.
And that's why.
We had a meeting with, I believe, Larry Grow and Steve Benoit.
Yes.
And certain recommendations, we pushed that forward, and it was completely changed. I believe broken into two, and where the emergency manager didn't even have the right to call on the constables until
right.
We said you need to put that back in.
We have that one. Right. We have two separate ones here.
All right, so I would need to know which one.
Yeah, this is
one.
Just the one about the actual emergency management director. Their position.
10008.
Is that?
It's what was the civil defense one.
Okay.
Donna has this for you guys when you meet next Thursday to look at and go over the stuff that you looked at before.
Because what we had put forward to go to the town meeting is not what went to the town meeting.
We know.
And then, so the one that you are speaking of, though, on the emergency management with the constables, at the end, the only question, well, there one grammatical error on an as-needed basis instead of on a as-needed basis. Not a big deal.
That's the one that ends in F.
That's right. Yes. I'm sorry. Under D. But under F, I had a question. Is there a time frame when they have to complete the training? And is this training in a budget? If so, where?
He does have a budget that he does work on.
Okay, but was there ever a discussion as to when the constables have to be certified for the traffic?
There might be two mistakes. Yeah, there might be a time.
So there might be there could be the possibility for an addendum pursuant to that we could look at. Okay.
Also, on that particular draft, if you're going to put something in the as-needed basis, probably ought to be defined somewhere as to what. Or just forget the quotes. I'm not sure why it's necessary.
Because it is right here. The emergency manager will have the authority.
No, I'm talking about this one.
Oh, that one.
But you can go back to that
This
is extremely difficult to read.
Yeah, but even here, this is where they added in this and the emergency, you know, without to terminate. And that needed to come out because that's only us as a board.
Gotcha. No, I understand that.
And that's going back there. So
that is being deleted.
That needs to be deleted. Yeah. But it was in the original proposal that went to that October town meeting, and it couldn't be done. So I asked them to relook at all of this stuff, come out with the final drafts and everything that they worked with, because it's been mishmashed so much.
Now this one is.
But I think that
this
I understand what
tough.
That one's. Yeah, but
it's
I think what you're saying is there's really no need to say only on an as-needed basis, because we're already saying that it's during a case of an emergency temporarily.
Yeah. Right? That's probably because you're saying it there, but also, if you put something in quotes, you should maybe define it or. Help me out. I will just delete it. So.
So you said they're meeting on Thursday?
They're meeting next Thursday.
Next Thursday?
Yes. And going back.
A.M.?
7 a.m.
Making breakfast?
back to the 10008. I thinking about that last compensation thing. Maybe we just delete the last sentence.
You mean about the payment?
The whole payment thing. Just leave the whole thing out there. I just don't think it pertains. But also, maybe we could just be consistent in the terms we use. Emergency Management, Homeland Security Agency, if that's what it is.
We may, be able to abbreviate that.
I would.
Well, abbreviate whatever it is. The
EMHS, you know, you can abbreviate it that way.
Whatever.
But you know how it starts up here, known as, and then do it that
way. Yeah, sure.
Or you can say the director, you know.
Yeah. Or the director.
The director is defined as.
Instead of me, the director.
Yeah. Oh, it's just, I mean, it's just really hard. It's just hard to read.
I don't think they've done much work with this. Okay, so
whatever, it's hard to do.
Yeah, so that's why I was asking them to look at these four. They seem to be the most reasonable if we can accomplish it between now and that referendum town meeting.
Well, that was my next question is, you know, is it feasible to have it before the federal elections or, you know?
I don't know.
We also need to have this. It's going to be very lengthy.
Well, no matter what happens, once it comes from them, we agree. And, you know, make changes, sure. Go back and forth.
Sure.
Then it's got to go to town attorney to make sure that there is no issue. It gets blessed. Then we move forward, like we always have. Al?
You've got to do the ordinances at the town meeting, not at the referendum.
Yeah, but the town meeting leads up to the referendum.
I understand. Yeah. So Roof is what's going to go to the referendum?
Correct. What?
I thought the finance board was in that pretty good ditch, asphalt, sand.
I think you missed the meeting, Don. They had a discussion. There was a, and I'm going off topic. They had a discussion. They went to the historical came in. The state historical came in. There was a much discussion about life expectancy of all of the three roofs, what you could get for future grants, etc. On that, and the motion was to go with the original tile roof and go to referendum on it for the approval.
If we knock it down, you would have moved it down, you ain't getting your roof, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is always an option at referendum time.
Put the fire plug on that one.
I think we're back to citizens' comments.
No other
business, hang on. If anybody has a change or a thought, get it to Marie, and we'll get it to the committee.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you going to have Steve there that morning? I think it would be
good. I'll ask Steve to stop by. I can do that.
Maybe you could ask Don to put that as number one so Steve can get there.
Okay.
I try to be good for our emergency management.
Yeah, I'll talk to Steve tomorrow and see if he'll stop by. Anybody have any other business?
I do not.
Sure.
No.
I don't either. Citizens' comments. Go ahead, Al.
All right, Alan, maybe 33 Randall. Too much money for a building. They used time to sell the building. I don't know how historical got the 99-year lease at $1 a year, plus us throwing $1,000 a year for heat without them having to do something about the upkeep. I agree with Don. Sell it, put the money towards the fire department. The other thing is about the solar project. That guy gave no information that was worth anything that night. And Jason Blue taped it, and he got in the paper this week that he was going to supply 95%, which he did talk about, 95% of electricity. It's going to be about 17%. That's coming from his own numbers there. It's only going to save $50,000 a year and spend it over $300,000. You know, so you couldn't get a straight answer. I never got a straight answer on anything I asked. I've had solar for over 35 years. First person in this area that did it. I have some experience. I really believe in solar. Don't believe in this guy whatsoever. Can't get a straight answer. You know, he should have been here with facts and figures. I asked him so many questions. Well, that's a good question. It's a good question. Why hasn't it been addressed already? Why am I asking this? You know, so that's my opinion. I'd like to see solar, but I don't trust that man whatsoever. And I'm very concerned I hope that no one in our previous administration signed a contract that we don't know about, because it would be pretty scary.
Anything else, Austin? Wayne?
I have a question on that. What bridge is not going to be, what, about 30 days late?
Part of the delay was the abutment and the reconfiguration of the delay in that. We are in conference with the engineer on that, the timelines that they're meeting at accordingly. And we are meeting again on Friday. Okay, and we'll evaluate from there. It's the best I can tell you.
My only concern is you have businesses that are going to get beat up because of it. Because you're going to go 30 days, and now you're going to be at 60 days, and you don't even know what you're going to make. And I thought it was supposed to be some kind of punishment if they didn't complete it in a certain amount of time. Because Paul here brought the attention of every one of you that this company is not one to finish jobs on time. I do remember that being said. And you said you covered all the due diligence and everything else.
Everything is in the contract.
So is the town receiving compensation for that being out?
Based on this information, I'm not a contract expert, Wayne. If he owes us something, he's doing it, we will enforce it.
Well, I thought every day he's supposed to be penalized for not completion.
If in a perfect world, if everything goes right, you're correct. If there are things that are above and beyond expectation and so forth in the contract, you know, you design it and you can't do it because it's got to be a redesign or whatever, it's not the contractor's fault.
Okay, that's one question. I'm just asking.
And I'm not sticking up for the contract. I mean, there are certain things.
Is there a contingency to help the businesses that are being affected?
No, there is not.
Why? They pay taxes. They've been doing it, and they've been here for a while. I mean, no offense. Don't want to see businesses go.
Nobody does.
I mean, everything should have been. No offense. I'm just trying to remember. You were warned ahead of time before you signed the contract with the company that this will probably happen. I mean, I know you don't like to hear that, but you guys went ahead with it, and now, because if you were collecting penalties, you could turn around and probably give it to the businesses that are suffering, that are losing businesses, you know, customers. I mean, if we lose a business because of it, there goes more tax dollars out of this town. And how do you recoup that?
Thank you. Don?
Don Mantle, what is the word? One thing on the minutes in the recordings. I'm in agreement that the minutes that Tina does, they can be basic, because the recording is a legal and binding tape. My question is, when are you going to get the program so someone can just come to the Selectman's office and get that recording in a day or two, rather than jump through hoops? Because a lot of recordings I'd like to get, but I can't, because you got to go from Marianne, and you got to take time off of work. Should be able to make a phone call. Hopefully straighten that out. But I used to listen to them on the website, you know. They have that up on the website. But they do protect both parties as well. But I believe Shane is definitely correct that when you guys do your thing, it's only on motion, and certain things you have to actually record and make it simple. My other comment is that roof. It's going to go to referendum. I missed the last finance meeting. I didn't know that. I was told, as a citizen, when I left, there was going to be bids, and John Rice was going to do the bids, but he brought in this historian and said, the roof will last longer. Well, what if the roof costs $40,000 in the last 40 years, and then another 40 years we've got to buy another one for 40 more years? That's $80,000. We're still under the $200,000. I don't know who the historian guy was, but did anybody do any check on it? Because John Ray should have got those bids. And I know that I'm going to do whatever I can to vote that roof down, because I think that is a waste of taxpayers' money. Especially when I heard tonight that a firefighter could possibly lose his life if he goes into a building and doesn't have the proper equipment. But we're going to have a roof so certain individuals can open that library on Sunday and show the two people in town they want to look at it. Because I heard that I have to call Joe Lindley to make an appointment. He will see this ridiculous library that we're making such a big deal about. Why would it put some roof shingles on and call it a day? We need to get to the bottom line. You guys are the Board of Selectmen. You're supposed to prioritize our money in the correct way. I think that a roof for a library versus our fire department, and I'm not on the fire department, I don't even know Mr. Sharp, I only know from him being here, I don't know anybody on the fire department, but I know that I want my family protected and people in town protected. They were there when my brother passed away for us. And I never looked at them that way until that day happened. They were there. So, that being said, I hope that the Board of Selectmen will do something about this and put our money where it belongs. Treat that library. Thank you. You can say it. You can't split it. Thank you.
Anybody else? Hearing none, I'll let you say it. Oh, like tax. It's been a long night. All right, taxes. We've all looked at this. Okay, I'll make a motion that we refund Dennis Bernard, $27.94. Diane Bukemia, $22.21. Andre and Cheryl DeRosier, $7.68. Double D Electrical Contractors, $22.93. Daniel and Catherine Duran, $15.77. Honda Lease Company, $33.56. Paul Lane, $9.12. Jennifer Langlois, $14.70. Daniel and Mark Leone, $18.37. Paul Mysildi, $3.52. Richard Novick, $4.20. Rachel Wexler, $20.90.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Now I'll entertain the motion.
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Steve, you're going?